Matthew 23, reading again. Matthew 23, 37 through 39. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Several years ago in the Army chaplaincy, I was asked by my commanding officer to do a live nativity scene. And I really didn't want to do that. That was the fact of the matter. I really didn't want to do it. But I was ordered to. So what choice did I have? I had to do that which I was really unwilling to do. And so we gathered the animals together and we got the personnel together, and I had a bright idea, since I had been in the Signal Corps earlier and knew that a spool of communications wire was quite lengthy. In fact, a spool of communications wire is about a mile long. I thought, you know, if you're going to have a nativity scene, you ought to have a star. And so I hooked a light bulb on the end, one end of this reel of communications wire, and the other end of the communications wire to a generator, and we cranked that wire out on a spool attached to a weather balloon so that this light bulb would go up in the air. And as you can imagine, if you crank out a mile's worth of wire, it goes out kind of far. Excuse me. At any rate, we had to take it down, unfortunately, because the local FAA people didn't appreciate this extra light floating around in the sky close to the airport on the military installation. At any rate, I had to do this for which I was initially quite unwilling, you see. That's my point. And we often find ourselves in this kind of a situation, do we not? Children often find themselves in the situation where they say to their parents, yes, I'll do it. I'll sit down. But on the inside, you're not going to make me, right? And this is often the case. And as parents and teachers, we know from experience ourselves that this is often the case. We find this type of unwillingness in the Bible also. We find it in our text this morning. Jesus saying in verse 37 of Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. There's the unwillingness. And I say at the head of our outline this morning, core unwillingness to receive Christ and His Word indicates your sad state before God, spiritually and eternally. Notice again, I speak of core unwillingness. That's the issue here. Because very often, as I just tried to illustrate, we will do things that in our own hearts we are opposed to. There is an outward submission, but a very crucial lack of willingness in the core of our being. And we need to take a look at that. And we need, each one of us, it seems to me, to examine our own hearts in relationship to God in this regard. So let's look at this text this morning. Verse 37 again. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. I say in the first point of the outline, if you want to quell the message, kill the messenger. Of course, this is what the text speaks of. This is true within the church as well as in the world. Jesus had been proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom in Jerusalem and the surrounding area for months and years, literally. And many prophets and teachers and wise men had come proclaiming Jesus Christ before his entrance into Jerusalem. I think it's rather interesting that Jesus here is mourning over Jerusalem. Previously, he had wept over Jerusalem when he entered the city for the last time on what we commonly call Palm Sunday, and now he mourns the lack he discovers in the city at this time. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And you can sense the cry in the voice and in the heart of Jesus, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Many had been sent to Jerusalem, and Jesus had been sent too. But what had been the reception that these prophets and wise men had received? They were killed. They were stoned. Stoning was the procedure to be used when a false prophet was apprehended. When a false prophet was apprehended, the false prophet was to be silenced by taking that false prophet outside the gates of the city and stoning to death that prophet. The problem was that what was established as a defense against those who were attempting to undermine the true church of God, that which was established as a defense against falsehood was turned against the truth. See, this was the problem. So that those who were in control politically within Jerusalem and actually despised the truth of God turned the tables and used this mechanism of stoning to silence the true prophets of God. And this happened repeatedly. You know, it's quite interesting that this is the case in our world today also. That those who come with the message of truth are often silenced by those who are politically in control. Is this not the case? And there are moves even on colleges and universities and within the Church of Jesus Christ to be politically correct rather than to be biblically correct. And those who stand up for the truth are called narrow. Those who stand up for the truth are said to be bigoted because they stand for the truth and are not politically correct. And this is even true within the Church of Jesus Christ. Of course, it was true in the Old Testament church, which was coming to an end in our text. And Jesus Christ mourns this fact. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. How often, Jesus says, I came and I was desirous of gathering together people. And the emphasis is on those words, how often? You see, as I say in the outline, Christ willingly receives the worst of sinners, not the righteous, willingly and sincerely coming to Him. Christ willingly receives those who willingly and sincerely come to Him. Is this not the case? And so Jesus speaks in our text about this. Keep your finger there, if you would, and turn to John chapter 6 and verse 37. This is a text which is often quoted and often memorized. John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I certainly will not cast out. All those who sincerely come to Jesus Christ will certainly embrace, he says. And I think that's the import of the text. How often I wanted to gather your children together. The way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you have a tremendous picture there, do you not? Of the hen gathering her chicks. And that picture of the chicks being frightened and seeking refuge. And the mother hen lifting her wings and gathering those chicks under her wings and crying out and screeching to fend off the enemy. Anything that would harm those chicks. The commentators point to Psalm 91, which speaks of the Lord God omnipotent hiding us under His wings and under His pinions, the feathers gathered around His feet, finding refuge in that place, finding refuge at the feet of the Savior, Jesus Christ. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and comes to those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And then these telling words, and you were unwilling. And you were unwilling. What words of Jesus Christ. And so I say in the outline, if you are unwilling to receive Christ and His Word, you are in danger of being cast off forever. See, this is the ultimate situation. And you were unwilling. All those who were sent to you and proclaimed to you the truth of the gospel and said to you, Jesus Christ came to die on behalf of sinners. He was on that cross and took on Himself the awful wrath of God. And if you trust Him, you will not have to take that awful wrath of God yourself. All those who were sent to Him. I had to drop back a little bit when I reckoned with those words because I had to think of myself. Years ago, when a man presented to me the gospel of Jesus Christ and I understood it really for the first time, I'd heard it many times before. I know that I had. And I was unwilling. God made me willing in that particular circumstance to embrace Christ. And I saw everything in a new way. And I had to think of my circumstance here and my own call to the ministry. Was I sent here? Was that the case? I guess so. I have to acknowledge that that's the case, do I not? I really do. And here we are this morning talking about Jesus Christ and the gospel. And I'm asking you this pertinent question. Are you unwilling? Jesus Christ came to this and said, if you are unwilling to receive Christ and His Word, you are in danger of being cast off forever. Verse 38, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Jesus Christ speaking in the temple in Jerusalem and mourning the fact that those who were in Jerusalem, so many of them, refused the word of the gospel because they were unwilling. And he turns then and he says to them as he leaves the temple, I am leaving to you your house desolate. Do you realize what happened to the temple in Jerusalem? It was only a few years later, in the year 70 AD, when the Roman army under the command of Titus came into Jerusalem and sacked the city and destroyed the temple, and it has never been rebuilt. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Catch those words, dear friend. Because the people of Jerusalem had come to the place where they had looked at the temple and they said, this is our house. It's like each of us saying of this church, this is our church. This is my church. It's not our church at all. It's not my church at all. If this is the church of Jesus Christ, this is Christ's church, paid for and bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, it does not belong to us. Not our church. Behold, I leave to you your house desolate. What a thing it would be if Jesus Christ would say to us, because we consider this to be our church, our temple, our place, and he said to us those terrible words, I'm leaving your house to you, and I'm walking away from your house. That would be, God forbid that this should be the case. And it was the case with those Jewish people so long ago. And so I say again, we face danger if we are unwilling to receive Christ and His Word. And I say in the fourth point of the outline, if you are unwilling to receive Christ and His Word, you will not see Him until He comes again. Verse 39, for behold, I say to you, from now on, you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus quotes from Psalm 118. And you remember how the people sang to him when he entered into the city of Jerusalem. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And now as Jesus leaves the temple precincts and says to the people there, I am leaving to you your house desolate. You shall not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes, it is true that these people saw Jesus Christ, many of them, carry his cross. It is true that many of these people from a distance did see Jesus Christ as he was nailed to that cross. And they did see Jesus Christ as that cross was lifted and it fell with a thud in the hole that was prepared for it. And the flesh of the Savior was torn as suddenly that body weight felt the pierce of the nails tugging and pulling. They saw, but they did not see with eyes illumined to see Jesus as the Savior. They did not see with eyes illumined to embrace Jesus as the one who came to die to pay the penalty due to them for their sins. They didn't see Jesus in this way. And Jesus is saying to them, when you die, you will not see me. I think that's one of the imports of the text. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter 2 and see something that the Apostle Paul says. Or Philippians chapter 1, I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 and following. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. I am hard pressed, Paul says, from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. And so we take from that text that when an individual passes from this life into the next, united to Jesus Christ, having faith in Jesus Christ, their soul passes immediately into the presence of Almighty God, and they see Jesus Christ face to face. We take that that is the truth of God. And what happens to the soul that is not united to God through faith in Jesus Christ? They do not see the Savior. But they pass into outer darkness, Jesus said, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. I will not see you. You will not see me, Jesus says. Look at verse 39 again in Matthew 23. For I say to you, from now on you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ will come a second time in glory. And all the dead will be before Him. Is that not the case? And Paul says in Philippians, the second chapter, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some will gladly rejoice in Him and willingly rejoice in Him. And others will be constrained to bow before Him because He is the Lord of the universe. But they will not do so willingly. I think this is what Jesus is talking about. And the majority of the commentators agree that this is the case. So what do we have here, folks? Point 5 in the outline. If you are unwilling to receive Christ in this life, He will not receive you. You are in danger of being cast off forever, and you shall unwillingly bow before Christ. What is in your heart of hearts this morning? Is there a pliableness in your heart? You see, God says in Ezekiel, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The heart of flesh is a heart which is pliable to the Word of God. The heart of stone is stubborn. And we ought to have hearts which willingly bow before Christ. Is that not the case? Is that not how it ought to be? And we ought not to be saying to ourselves, I'll sit here in the pew because I'm required to. My folks expect me to be here, or my family tradition expects me to be here. Or I'm part of the pastor's family, so he expects me to be here. But I'm not going to bow down to Jesus Christ in my heart. Is that how it is with you this morning? You see, the lesson of the text is, again, in point 5 of the outline, if you are unwilling to receive Christ in this life, He will not receive you. You are in danger of being cast off forever. And one day you will be constrained against your will to bow before Jesus Christ. And I say finally in that last point, if there is unwillingness in your heart, and you know that there is unwillingness in your heart, your only hope, dear friend, is the mercy of God. You must cast yourself on the mercy of God. And I go back once again to Luke chapter 18. And if you want to look at these verses with me, I encourage you to do so. Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 and following. And He also told this parable to certain ones who trust in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. You see, dear friends, we can say to ourselves, I live a good life. I've not done anything especially bad in this life. And at the same time, in the core of our hearts, have an unwillingness to come to Christ, to receive Christ, to trust Christ. And that core unwillingness to receive Christ and His Word indicates a sad state before God, spiritually and eternally. And so I ask, dear friend, are you unwilling? Or is there in your heart a glorious desire, a willingness to serve Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray that it would come home to all of us, myself included. I am certainly not exempt, Father, and in many ways have been found wanting. Forgive me. Forgive us of our sins of unwillingness. Change our hearts. Make us pliable to Your will, to Your Word, we pray. Give us new hearts. Give us, O God, new spirits. Renew us and begin that process of awakening and renewal and revival with each one of us personally and with our families, we pray. And Father, in this way, ignite with a flame of your Spirit your church in this place. Hear us, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.